I know you're out there. I know that you're afraid. You're afraid of us. You're afraid of change. I don't know the future. I didn't come here to tell you how this is going to end. I came here to tell you how it's going to begin. I'm going to hang up this phone, and then I'm going to show these people what you don't want them to see. A world without rules and controls, without borders or boundaries. A world where anything is possible. Where we go from there is a choice I leave to you.
The Chris Ann Hall Show.
Any varmint that crosses that lady's path has met its match.
Come on!
Rise and shine, liberty-loving patriots. Welcome to the Chris Ann Hall Show. Chris Ann Hall here. KRISANNEHALL.com. Liberty over security, principle over party, truth over your favorite personality. Because that's really the only way we're ever going to do anything about this country. We need to restore liberty in order to restore a balanced budget. We need to restore liberty if we're going to restore limited government. And the only way we're going to restore liberty is to restore it in the minds of our people. Because if we do not know what liberty is, if we can't define liberty, then we can't defend it. And it's about time we get back to some basics. And I want to talk to you today about some basics. Beginning at the beginning, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. All men are created equal and endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights. Among these, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. But here's the key. That to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just power from the consent of the governed. Man, that tells you everything you need to know about government. Everything you need to know about liberty. Everything that you need to know to have a nice limited government, limited and defined, putting it in a box, to have who has control, where, what is the source of power. Everything you need to know is wrapped up in those two statements. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal and endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights. And to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just power from the consent of the governed. Do you know that Americans do not even understand those basic principles? If we understood those basic principles, we would not have the government that we have today. We would not be in the situation that we are today. I am in Detroit, Michigan, teaching. I have five classes. I just finished the first one. I'm teaching again tomorrow night. The Constitutional Activism 101, things that we can do with our own hands, things that we need to be doing. Because you know what? Voting doesn't secure liberty. Is not how you secure liberty. Voting is your minimum obligation as a member of a constitutional republic. Minimum. Minimum obligation. It has nothing to do with securing liberty. Voting does not secure liberty. John Philpott Curran said, "It is the common fate of the indolent to see their liberty stolen by the active. The condition upon which God grants liberty to man is eternal vigilance. And if that condition is broken, servitude is his punishment and the immediate indication of his guilt." Eternal. Eternal vigilance is not voting once every 4 years or once every 2 years if you're a real active citizen. Eternal vigilance is not gearing up before election time and doing what you need to do to make sure that your candidate or your party gets elevated. That's not eternal vigilance. Eternal vigilance is every single day standing for liberty. Every single day doing what you need to do. Every single day training up your children to stand for liberty. Which means you need to train your children up to question authority. It sounds contradictory, doesn't it? We are supposed to trust and obey, right? Well, let me tell you what. We trust and obey God, not men. Because the Bible is very clear that when men become wicked and evil, we don't trust them anymore. We don't obey them anymore. We don't do what they say. I mean, this goes way back in scripture to the Hebrew nursemaids refusing government-mandated abortions. Trust and obey government. That's who God put over you, right? No, that's not what God wants you to do. And that's not what people who are endowed by their creator ought to be doing either. I mean, let's look at that real quick. We hold these truths. Truths. Not ideas, not interpretations, not philosophies, not ideologies, not rhetoric, truths. We hold these truths to be self-evident. They don't need any more proof than the fact that they are. They are because they are. And that's it. We don't need anything else. Why do we not need anything else? Because they come from our Creator. That all men are created equal. Why are they all created equal? Because we are all created in the image of God. And we're all endowed by our Creator with certain inalienable rights. Why are they inalienable? Because government didn't give them to you. If government doesn't give them to you, government can't take them away. No, that's right. They can't pass a law to take them away. The Supreme Court can't issue a ruling to take them away. They can't send out the troops to take them away. As a matter of fact, that's totally against what our framers said. Patrick Henry said, give me liberty or give me death. They didn't even send troops to take away their liberty because they would take their life first. You see, liberty is only gone when you let it be gone. Liberty is only gone when we allow it to go. We trade it away for bits and parcels and wood, hay, and stubble and think that's okay. Oh, well, you know, I really could use this service. And we need to be safe, you know. We've got to be safe. So we could be safe, then I can just let a little bit of this liberty go by. Really? Is that okay? To let just a little bit of liberty go by? I don't know. I mean, that seems... When has the government ever given something back? When has ever a power that the government has wielded that's supposed to be temporary? I will remind you that income tax was supposed to be temporary. It was only supposed to fund the war, and it was only supposed to apply to a limited number of people. How's that one working out for us? 102 years later. You see, Samuel Adams said, among the natural rights of the colonists are these. First, life. Secondly, liberty. Third, property. We always say life, liberty, and property. We forget that fourth one. Life, liberty, property, together, number four, with the right to protect and defend them with the best means possible. Your right to self-preservation, Samuel Adams said, is part of the first law of nature. That first law of nature that dictates that, hey, you have the right to survive. Whether that survival means that you protect your life from a robber or a rapist, or you protect your life from a government who is trying to take your liberty. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal and endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights. Life, liberty, property, and the right to protect them and defend them with ever best means that you have possible. That means you have to have a means to protect your life, your liberty, and property from anybody who would want to take that. And you know what's ridiculous? This sort of idea that our rights, that our right to keep and bear arms is somehow hinged to hunting, sports, or even protecting you or yourself from your neighbors, from robbers and rapists. No, it has nothing to do with that. You see, the Second Amendment codified our right to keep and bear arms as a reminder to us. A reminder to what? For what purpose? So we would remember to not be disarmed. Our framers were afraid that we would forget our natural right to self-preservation and we would allow ourselves, as we have throughout history, to be disarmed. And they're saying, look, look, look. A well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Shall not. Absolutely forbidden. No question about it. Nobody can touch it. Infringed. You can't even violate it. You can't even approach it to violate it. According to the Second Amendment, you can't even talk bad about my right to keep and bear arms. You can't even say anything that would put my right to keep and bear arms in jeopardy. Say something, and you're infringing upon it. Why? Because they didn't want us to be disarmed. But when we have this crazy idea that our right to keep and bear arms is so that we can go hunting, what we're really saying is that our framers were afraid that the deer and the rabbit would organize to disarm us. Because remember, it's all about being disarmed. And if hunting and skeet shooting is about the Second Amendment, then they must be afraid of the deer and the rabbit disarming us, or the sportsmen all organizing together to disarm us. But it's about protecting yourself from robbers and rapists. Oh, really? Because they were afraid that all the criminals would organize in a criminal racket to disarm all the law-abiding citizens and make sure all the criminals kept their guns. Well, that might be true, I guess, if you believe that the Department of Justice and the ATF are an organized band of criminals, and I happen to think so. But nonetheless, that's not the purpose. They reminded us to never be disarmed so that we would not allow the government to disarm us. That's our biggest threat. Throughout all of history, our biggest threat from being disarmed comes from government. And it's about time we realize that the sole purpose of government is to secure our right to life, liberty, property, and our right to protect and defend them. Remember that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just power from the consent of the governed. But what happens when the government becomes the criminal?
Ann Hall Show. She's Liberty's lobbyist.
So what happens when the government becomes the criminal? And what happens when the government, whose only purpose is to secure our rights, no longer secures them? So we're going to talk about that today. I mean, these sort of case on points. What happens when the government becomes the criminal, and what happens when the government refuses to secure our rights? That's the only purpose for their existence, to secure our rights. To secure our rights from what? What are we protecting our rights from? From those who would take it from us. The whole purpose of government is to come together as a society, collectively, to guard and protect what we would have to normally guard and protect individually. You see, it's going to your neighbor and saying, hey, I have the inherent right to protect and defend myself. Nobody can take that right away from me. They can take my life away from me, but they can't take that right away from me. So anybody who would come after me at my house to take my stuff is going to have to deal with me. But look, we've got a problem as societies grow. And we see this throughout history. So I have my property, and I'm well and good protecting myself from, you know, one or two. But what if a whole community of people want my stuff? right? So our community, our whole neighborhood now, is invaded by the neighborhood next door. And they come from next door to come over and take all the people from the neighborhood down the street. Come to take the stuff from our neighborhood. Are we stuck then fighting on our own? No. We come together as a neighborhood to defend our neighborhood from that other neighborhood. That's why government's created. To work as a collective expression of the individual rights, to protect the individual rights of the people. You see, government has no more power than I have individually. Can I come to your house and steal your stuff because I like it? Maybe I don't think that I have enough money, and maybe I think that you have too much. Can I come to your house and knock on the door and invite myself in and take your money? Can I go through your wallet and take your money and say, okay, now let me count this out. I have this amount of money, and you have this amount of money, and now now we're equal. And then leave. Is that okay? Can I do that? Of course not. If I tried to do that, you would be within your right to defend yourself and your property from me. Okay? So what happens if I go to my next-door neighbor, Jim? Okay? My next-door neighbor, Jim, I say, hey, Jim, this guy over here has more money than me. How about you go over, Jim, to this guy's house, and you get some money from him so that he and I have the same amount of money? Is that okay? Of course not. Because as an individual, I can't do that. And as an individual, I can't get another individual to do that for you. So why is it that when I elect Jim for office, and now he is a member of government, now Jim is well within his right to go into your wallet and take your stuff so that you and I have the same amount of stuff? So this is what I'm talking about. When government can now do things that individuals cannot do. Can individuals take your property? No, they cannot. So why can government? And why does hiring my next door neighbor Jim and calling him a representative allow him to make a law now to take your stuff when I couldn't take your stuff individually? That's when government becomes lawless. See, that's the whole purpose of our Constitution, was to create a limited and defined government so that government would never do that. So the government would always be limited by the people and by the states. Remember, the 10th Amendment says the powers not delegated to the federal government are reserved to the states or to the people, respectively. Why or to the people? Because we are the owner of all the rights. God created us with all the rights. All the rights in the universe belong to us. Power emanates from rights. And we created government to secure those rights. And when government, any form of government, operates contrary to the security of our rights, we the people have a right and a duty to alter or abolish them. When the government becomes unlawful criminals, it is our right to alter and abolish. So don't let them steal your life.
The Chris Ann Hall Show. She's Liberty's lobbyist.
Think about this, though. Isn't the Constitution called the supreme law of the land? I mean, really, it's the supreme law of the land, especially when it refers to the federal government and their power. So the Constitution is the supreme law of the land for the federal government and their power. What does that mean, then? When they don't follow the very laws that created them. Think about that for just a second. We champion representatives. We have these little percentages that we assign to our representatives. Oh, he votes for the Constitution 90% of the time. Ooh. Awesome. He must be a constitutional champion. He follows the law 90% of the time. That makes him a champion of the law? I'm missing something here. Because if you or I were driving down the road one day, and a police officer pulled us over and said, "Hey, Chrisanne, you are violating this law." And I said, "But officer, I follow the law 90% of the time. You got to give me a pass." How's that going to work out for me? Of course not. Officer's going to be like, "Yeah, right. Okay, here's your ticket. Here's how you pay it. And if you don't, we're coming after you." Ooh. Remember that one, Chrisanne. Connect that dot. If you don't pay it, we're coming after you. If you don't follow the law, we're coming after you. So why, if it doesn't work for you, does it work for your politician? Oh, he follows the Constitution 90% of the time. Yeah, he follows the law 90% of the time. That means he breaks the law 10% of the time. And we ought to be doing exactly what that officer did and said, "Hey, you don't follow the law, we're coming after you." But we somehow give them a pass because they have our favorite R behind their name or our favorite D behind their name. And we let them break the law. And then we do nothing about it. My goodness. Do you know that if you or I did 85%, I mean, 10%, let's put this in the right perspective. If you or I did 10% of what our government does, we would be in prison for the rest of our lives. Eric Holder, guilty of contempt, criminal contempt, before Congress. No, this is not a theory. This is not an idea, a guess. He was found guilty by 255 members of Congress. That means there were some people that were Democrats and there were some people that were Republicans who all found Eric Holder guilty of contempt of court. Do you know what would happen if you or I were found guilty of contempt of court? If I was found guilty of contempt of court, I would be in jail. I would be in prison. If you were found guilty of contempt of court, you would be in prison too. So, where's Eric Holder? He wasn't even impeached. Lying, cheating, murder. You know, I watched the Fast and Furious hearings. I'm a former prosecutor. I know the elements of murder. I know the elements of conspiracy to murder. And guess what? I watched that hearing, and by the evidence that came forth, Eric Holder was guilty of murder. This is not a Republican-Democrat thing. This is not a politics thing. This is a murder thing. This is a criminal thing. This is absolutely illegal thing. This isn't even just, I say that, you know, sort of tongue-in-cheek, not even just violating the Constitution. This is violating every statute of murder in this country. And Eric Holder got away with it. Congress never once impeached him, even after they found him guilty. And do you know what that means? They found him guilty of contempt and then refused to punish him for it. Article 2, Section 4 of the Constitution says that Congress shall. That shall is a no-brainer. There is absolutely nothing you can say about it. You have to do it. Congress shall remove from office the president, the vice president, and all civil officers for a list of things to include high crimes and misdemeanors. So what do we do? Eric Holder's been found guilty of contempt. Federal contempt. A federal crime. Was he impeached? No. I mean, in the least, he wasn't impeached. He wasn't thrown into prison for contempt either. But when Congress failed to impeach Eric Holder, do you know what they said to you and me? They said, Eric Holder is above the law. They said, this entire administration is above the law. But then they did something even worse. They said, we, your congressmen, are above the Constitution itself. Oh, that shall thing. We don't have to worry about that. That's no big deal. Now, look at the course of events after we failed to impeach Eric Holder and hold him accountable. We not only declared Eric Holder above the law, we declared this entire administration above the law. You go look at the executive orders that were signed after this. The rapid succession of executive orders, because we told this administration, nah, we're not going to do anything. You just go ahead and do whatever you want. You just be unlimited in your power. And we're okay with that, Congress said. We're fine with that. Go with it. As a matter of fact, we'll keep funding you. We'll give you all the money you need. Go ahead. Be lawless. We're okay with that. And now look what we've got. We've got TPP. We've got executive international orders. International executive orders. Completely defying. Not even avoiding, not even circumventing, but completely defying the Constitution of the United States. Completely defying. Creating trade agreements with 12 foreign countries outside the entire treaty process. Oh, yeah, we're good with that. We're good with that. As long as we get our vote and we get our cut and we get our kickbacks, we're good with that. Who cares about the Constitution? We're good with this. We'll make sure we have a few that vote against it, so it looks like there's some opposition. But, you know, we're good with that. We're good with that. We're good with this whole, we won't have to have the Senate follow the treaty process. And we're all good with this whole not even following the Constitution at all and creating trade agreements that are completely unlawful and inequitable. Not only that, hey, here's what we'll do. We'll create this trade agreement outside, completely defying the Constitution. And then we'll subject our people to the foreign law of these foreign governments in these foreign treaties. And then we'll give all these foreign governments equal access to all our government contracts, and we'll establish an Equal Employment Opportunity Commission, so that now private businesses have to give equal footing to foreign companies. Oh, I know what we can do, Congress says. I know what we can do. Here's what we'll do. We'll be okay with the president making a deal that says any company who wants to exclusively purchase American goods, any company that flashes a banner that says American made, any company that says we proudly purchase only American goods, we'll make that illegal. Yeah. We're good with that. We're good with that. And then what we'll do is we'll exempt all these foreign corporations from our regulations. You know, the regulations that strangle and choke our citizens to death. We'll exempt the foreign countries, but our people will still have to follow them. And that way, these foreign countries will be able to move in. They'll undercut all American businesses, and we will have foreign businesses running our country and foreign law dictating our business practices. And Congress says, yeah, we're good with that. Really? Really? Because, I'm sorry, I thought to secure these rights, which rights? Those rights that were given to men by God. That to secure these rights, government was instituted among men, deriving their just power from the consent of the governed. Wait a minute. Do you know what that means? That means if Congress is good with that, oh yeah, we're good with that, and we don't go after them for that, when we're good with that, we continue to give them money to fund this illegal foreign trade agreement. We continue to give them money to fund and subsidize foreign countries to come and take over American business. We fund them to supplant our laws with foreign laws. Do you know what that means? We're good with that too. Are we? Because this whole thing's only operating by our consent. Silence is consent. But we're more than silent. We're complicit. Because we don't have the proper perspective on liberty. We don't have the proper perspective on government. We have forgotten why we have government. Americans are addicted to government. Government subsidies, government services, government assistance, government regulation, government telling us how to manage our lands and do what we need to do, and without them, we're lost. Hey, that's not freedom, guys. That's slavery. The weapon of my choice. Don't censor my voice. Hate me if you won't, or love me if you can. If the truth is what you want, then you found your man. I ain't backing down. I ain't backing up. If you think like I think, then crack it on up. I won't back up. I don't back down. I've been raised up to stand my ground. Take my job, but not my gun.
Chris Ann Hall Show. She's Liberty's lobbyist.
Well, Congress knows how to impeach. We know they know how to impeach. House Republicans on Tuesday introduced a resolution to impeach IRS Commissioner John Koskinen. This is Rich. Listen to this. Accusing him of making false statements under oath and failing to comply with a subpoena for evidence. Hello? That's exactly what Eric Holder did. That's exactly what Lois Lerner did. That's exactly what Hillary Clinton is doing. But you see, in the eyes of our government, not all men are created equal. Some men are placed above other men, and some men are above the law. House Oversight Committee Chairman Jason Chaffetz, a Republican from Utah, and 18 other committee members introduced a resolution to begin the impeachment proceedings because Commissioner Koskinen violated the public trust. He failed to comply with a congressionally issued subpoena, documents were destroyed on his watch, and the public was consistently misled. Really? So, are we going to start impeaching Eric Holder again? Or Hillary Clinton? Oh, and by the way, just because they're not in office anymore doesn't mean they can't be impeached. Because that precedent was established a long time ago. Impeachment for what they did in office. That's like saying, oh, well, we can't prosecute this guy in Florida. He doesn't live here anymore. He moved off to Georgia, so we're not going to bring him back here and prosecute him for his crime. You see, there are consequences for impeachment, not just simply censure, even imprisonment. The consequences of impeachment are you can't run for office anymore. You can't be in public service anymore. And that's what ought to happen to these people. Hillary Clinton ought not be running for president. I don't know if that hurts anybody's feelings, but she ought not be running for president because she lied, and she continues to lie under oath. And as someone who is an attorney, an officer of the court. She knows exactly what she did, and she knows exactly what that means. And if someone will look you in the eye and lie to you today, they will lie to you tomorrow. They will betray your country. And so what happens when government officials become above the law? Well, then they get to pick and choose which ones of their friends are above the law. U.S. prosecution of white-collar crimes is at an all-time 20-year low. Federal prosecution of white-collar crime has hit a 20-year low, according to a report on Department of Justice data. In the analysis of thousands of records by Syracuse University shows that more than 36% decline in such prosecutions since the middle of the Clinton administration, when the decline first began. Really, it's not because there has been a decline in white-collar crime. The evidence reflects that it's a shifting of enforcement policies, letting these big, uber-rich people violating the laws go free. Oh, no, no, no. You see, the Department of Homeland Security says, oh, we don't have the budget to deal with all these white-collar crimes, so we have to engage in deferred prosecution. We got to give them plea deals, which all they got to do is, you know, pay us some money and then they're done. Because we don't have the budget. No, you have the budget. You just spend the budget coming after people who don't like government instead. So we don't want to prosecute the big dollar donors and the lobbyists for their white collar crime, but we can come after everyday citizens who believe in liberty, who believe in the sovereignty of the states, who believe that government should be limited. We can come after them and take their homes and take their property and take their money and garnish their wages and attack them through the IRS. That's what we have a budget for. And this is what happens when government is above the law, then the people get under the foot of government. God bless everybody. See you tomorrow.